morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of the God who has formed us and the Spirit who transforms us into the extravagantly loving, radically hospitable people who God intends us to be. And I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us by our live-streamed or our recorded worship. No matter how we came to worship this day, we can all know that we are blessed by the fact that the power of the Holy Spirit binds us together as one body in Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. So we do have a few announcements I want to share with you this morning. I want to thank our worship leaders for their gift of time and talents this day to make our worship possible. And also a special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer for their technical expertise that's making this worship possible virtually. And also thanks to Pegasus Natick for broadcasting this service. We have a baptism today, and I want to warmly welcome Megan Bard and Ray Welch, who bring their child, Nora, this day for baptism. So welcome to you, and greetings to godparents and family that you have with you this day. So we are so blessed to have you among us this day. I remind us all that we have a covenant for our worshiping community that you'll find on the inside cover of the bulletin. This reminds us of the things that we've agreed to do during this time of COVID for safely worshiping together. One of those things is that we will continue to hum for the time being hymns. We do have some song leaders who may be singing. They'll do some singing on our behalf for this at this point, but humming and not singing at this point. Also, we will have a time, of course, of being in morning prayer together. And as we do that, we're going to share prayer celebrations and concerns. Many of those are in the bulletin, so we invite you to take a look at those. But we also have an opportunity for those of you who are at home to send prayers to us now by emailing us at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive those by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our prayers this morning. And for those of you who are here, if you would like to lift up a prayer concern or celebration, you'll find an index card in your pew. There should be a writing implement there. And if you just write your prayer there, we will collect them around the time of the morning prayer. You can just hold them up, and we'll incorporate them into our prayers together. So I want to invite forward Doug Hanna, who is going to give us a bit of an update on our Apple campaign.
Good morning. Good morning. As you can see from the slide, we've made great progress. We are up to $80,348 towards the $100,000 matching goal. So just shy of $20,000 to go with 1 week left in the campaign. So if you're considering a pledge at this time or an increase to your pledge, this now would be the best time for that. It's been an exciting campaign so far, and I want to use this time to urge everybody to attend either in person or remotely next Sunday, which will be Celebration Sunday. We'll get to announce our grand totals raised, thank the multitude of people that have been involved in this campaign, which include all of you, and just really celebrate a remarkable moment in the history of the church. So great news. Hope to see you next week as well. Thank you.
Great celebration for our capital campaign, and we'll also be incorporating Thanksgiving themes, of course, into that worship as well. Let's see, we have some additional opportunities for you to weigh in on some of the projected plans that we have in store. So you'll see that there are sanctuary and kitchen concept information sessions. One of those is being held this Thursday evening from 7:30 to 9, and that'll be during Zoom. So this is a good way for you to hear what's going on with those planned projects, but also for you to weigh in on them as well. This afternoon, we have an opportunity at noon to talk a bit about our eco-justice ministry, and specifically, there's an opportunity for you to check out some information regarding electric vehicles and hybrids and other vehicle selections. I will have my vehicle, which I'm not going to shamelessly promote from this pulpit today, but I will just say I'll have my hybrid plug-in there as well, and you're even welcome to take it for a test drive if you want to. So, but I know that there will be some other vehicles there. I want to thank Sharon Kirby for pulling this together today. So let us continue now with our worship as we invite all of us to be in the Spirit together. And I invite our folks at home, those of you who have a candle ready at hand, we invite you to light your candle as I light the Christ candle, so that we all might remember that indeed, by the power of the Spirit, we are one.
Good morning. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. What are we? Malleable dust and water mixed. Pliable clay, hard kneaded, spun on a wheel. Formed by the gentle, strong hands of the potter. Lovingly shaped and carefully crafted. All usable, all usable, all valuable. All of us in the hand of the Creator. Made whole and holy, formed from humble mud. Who are we? All empty vessels, gathered today, hoping to be filled. Please join me in the opening prayers we say together. Holy and loving God, for the sun and the stars, the mountains and the valleys, sunshine and rain, we, your children, come offering our thanks and seeking your presence. Be among us, open our hearts to the sway of your power and your grace. We dedicate this service to you, trusting that you will work through our songs and our sayings so that we will leave this place knowing your hand has touched us transformed us, renewed us. Amen.
So now, remaining physically distant and yet open to one another's spirits, I invite each of us to share the peace of Christ, perhaps reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing or placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening our spirits to God's Spirit and also sharing our spirit with others. Or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which is a way that we recognize and honor the divine in each person. The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace, Lorraine. So at this time, I would like to have our microphone adjusted. And thank you, Hank. Always appreciated. That's his ministry. This is mine. But we try to be a team. Thank you. So at this time, I want to invite forward Megan Bard and Ray Welch, who bring their child, Nora, for baptism. And I also invite Nora's godparents, Lexi and Joe, to join them. She is a beauty. She is. Dear friends, as we come to this font of living water, let us recall the meaning of baptism. As the Apostle Paul said, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." So the sacrament of baptism is an outward and a visible sign of the grace of God. And inasmuch as the promise of the gospel is not only to us but also to our children, baptism with water and the Holy Spirit is the mark of their acceptance into the care of Christ's church, the sign and seal of their participation in God's forgiveness, and the beginning of their growth into full Christian faith and discipleship. And so, Megan and Ray, do you desire to have your beautiful child baptized into the faith and family of Jesus Christ?
We do.
And godparents, Lexi and Joe, do you promise, according to the grace given to you, to grow with this child in the Christian faith, to help her to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian Church so that she may affirm her baptism?
We do.
People of God, Jesus Christ calls us to make disciples of all the nations and to offer them the gift of grace in baptism. And so I ask all of you, do you who witness and celebrate this sacrament promise your love, support, and care to the one about to be baptized as she lives and grows in Christ? If so, please say, "We promise our love, support, and care."
We promise our love, support, and care.
Very well. Please pray with me. Blessed by your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water, by your Holy Spirit, save those who confess the name of Jesus Christ that sin may have no power over them. Create new life in this one, baptized this day that she may rise in Christ. Glory to you, eternal God, the one who was and is and shall always be, world without end. Amen. So even as we celebrate the beginning of Nora's life this day, it's right to remember those who have passed on before us. And for this family, this is especially true because just some days before Nora was born, Nora's aunt Rachel died unexpectedly. And so on this joyous occasion, we also affirm that the spirits of the living and the dead yet remain present to one another, as we offer these words from the poet Rumi. Goodbyes are for those who love with their eyes, because for those who love with heart and soul, there is no such thing as separation. No, let's see. Maybe I'll hold it. Nora. Yes. So we are so glad to have you with us. Yeah. Okay. Megan and Ray, by what name is this child called?
Nora Claire Welch.
Nora Claire Welch. I baptize you in the name of the Father. I baptize you in the name of the Son. And I baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit. Blessings be upon you, newest member of the family of Christ. Let us pray together. We give you thanks, Holy One, Mother and Father of us all, and all the faithful, for your child and for the grace acknowledged here today in water and the Holy Spirit. So embrace us all. Embrace us all as the children in your household of love. Grant us peace to receive and nurture and befriend this new member of the body of Christ. Give to this newly baptized one, Nora, strength for life's journey, courage in time of suffering, the joy of faith, the freedom of love, and the hope of new life through Jesus Christ, who makes us one. Amen. So for all of you, please join me in offering Nora the welcome of this congregation as she begins her journey along the path of faith, as we say together, Nora, we welcome you into the family of faith. God grant you strength for life's journey, joy in your faith, the freedom of love, and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ, who makes us one. So we do have some things that we'd like you to have. A baptismal certificate, of course. And for Joe and for Lexi, some certificates as godparents. Thank you for what you will do on behalf of Nora. And also this book, Water Come Down, which is a book that we traditionally gift to those who are being baptized. And so, Nora, so good to meet you. Yeah, you're not going to let go, are you? I don't want to let go either. This is fun. So wonderful to hear her voice, so wonderful to know her spirit, and so wonderful to begin to get to know her. Blessings to all of you, and blessings on Nora. And if I could have my finger back, dear little one, go in peace.
This is a season of firsts. Though I have celebrated one other baptism with this congregation. Go in peace, beloved ones. God be with you there. Though I was able to celebrate one other baptism with you during that time with you. During COVID, that was a much smaller gathering. This was a wonderful first for me to be able to have a baptism in person and to hear that voice and to know that all of you have heard it as well. So we give thanks for many things. We give thanks for the multitude of gifts that are upon us. And we know that we can share some of those gifts with the world, and that's what we do now. As we come to a time of offering, let us give now of ourselves and our substance, that God might fashion them into a world of love and peace, and knowing that we're not passing an offering plate, we yet know that it is our intention to give of our gifts that our world might be blessed. Transform us and them into serviceable vessels filled with your living water for all who are thirsty and who thirst for you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house. There I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way, and amend your ways and your doings." Here ends the reading for today.
The potter. acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, our scriptures are filled with so many images for God. And perhaps none is as suggestive as the prophet's image of God as potter.
Isaiah says, "We are the clay, O God, and you are the potter, and we are the work of your hands." So imagine being the potter at the wheel. Imagine being the potter at the wheel. Before you is the clay with all its potential there. What beautiful or useful things might you fashion with that potentiality? You prepare the clay. You knead out the bubbles, smoothing it. And you place this clay on the wheel. And you spin that lower wheel with your feet. And once it's up to speed, you wet that clay. And you push your hand into its center while the other presses firmly on the side. And carefully, you form the pot. All the time. Your feet are turning and your hands are moving, both of them. And your hands are pressing there against the clay. You're completely absorbed in your work. Physically and mentally, you are concentrating. We are the clay, O God, and you are our potter, says Isaiah. And in this next slide, you can see the potter bending down, carefully concentrating. To do this work. So my question today, though, when I hear this image is, well, what does it mean to be shaped by God? What does that actually mean? It's comforting, I think, this image of God who knows us so intimately, hovering over the clay, fashioning us with strong and yet gentle hands, showing a loving care there. And you know, it's also a compliment. So, you know, take a compliment today, people. For the potter turns out only essential items for carrying or storing or cooking or serving or something of beauty. We are formed. Each and every one of us, for a purpose. And then consider that, like any pottery piece, each one of us is absolutely unique. There is no other piece of pottery like this one right here. And yet we all bear the imprint of the potter's hands. Jeremiah agrees with Isaiah, but goes a little further. And so we hear in today's scripture, we are the clay, O God, and you are our potter. And yet Jeremiah kind of puts a different spin on the potter's wheel and says this: I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good. And then God's word came to Jeremiah, "Can I not do with you, O Israel, just as this potter has done? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in the potter's hand." So for the prophet, just as the potter may choose to reduce that spoiled vessel to its base element and start over, God may choose to destroy corrupted Israel in this scripture and force it to start over and to do so with humility. Jeremiah, we have to remember, was living under the growing shadow of the Babylonian Empire and the Babylonian advance that would eventually destroy Israel and Jerusalem itself. And so the prophet is urging his people to turn from practices that distorted their shape and return to God, who formed them, so that God would be inclined to grant them mercy and reform them. What does it mean to belong to God and to be shaped by God? Well, Jeremiah reminds us that we're subject to our Creator. And, you know, personally, if I'm really honest here, I resist this notion that God has formed me and will remake me. After all, society tells me that, you know, to be a self-made person, that's the epitome. That's the epitome of success. And so I don't like my self-determination to be undermined. And yet, have you ever tried to throw a pot on a potter's wheel? Seriously, how many of you have tried this? Okay, a few of you. So, confession here. I once got so frustrated with an elective course that I took in college in pottery that I dropped it after 2 weeks. Sometimes I would mix that clay starter with too much water, and it would just kind of slide all over the wheel, right? You know what I'm talking about. And other times, I wouldn't add enough water, and the clay would crack. And every time I put the clay on the wheel, I was wrestling with it, or felt I needed to make it do what I wanted it to do. The clay seemed to have a mind of its own. The fact is, the potter needs the clay's cooperation, I think. I did learn that from the course. There's a relationship that exists between the clay and the potter. They respond to one another, kind of like a dance, really. Out of this dynamic process, the pot is formed. Neither the potter nor the clay alone determines what the end result will be. The pot will be akin to that original vision of the potter and bear the potter's imprint. But each pot, well, it's still unique. It's still unique. And its essential clayness remains. For us to be remade, God needs our cooperation. That is what Jeremiah was begging his people to do, I think. They could be renewed, but they were expected to work with God to allow this to happen. And because their life choices had kind of distorted their image, that God-given shape, God called them to repent, which simply means to return, to turn again to God. I think that's good news. Frankly, that's good news for those of us who know that we are, in fact, flawed in some ways, know that we are broken in some ways. Jeremiah spoke of the sin that distorts our original good shape. And surely each one of us, to some extent or another, senses our beauty or usefulness has been marred by the things that we've done or that we haven't done. And distortion can come in other ways as well, to the very process of living itself. We all know life circumstances that can dent or crack or even crush us. We know of those things. I look back over my life and I think about those things. I recall the prison of depression and the door, the closed door, seemingly closed forever, of rejection. The dead-end street of grief and the hell of raging illness. All those times and more when I believe the shape of my life was set and set against me. And yet, I have also felt the power of God to reshape me when I didn't believe it possible. I think on the clay and know that no matter how distorted my God-given shape has become, I am not a complete waste. What does it mean to belong to God and to be shaped by God? Well, it means to be transformed. It means to be redeemed by the potter who originally gave us life into the beautiful and useful image that God intends for each and every one of us. You know, this congregation has been in a reformation process over the past couple of years. I know this in my bones. No doubt there has been upset, there's been pain, there's been anxiety during this time, and there still is. That would all have been true had the pandemic not come along. But COVID has just kind of underscored the transition that you all have been in, that we all have been in, and has made you feel these things all the more poignantly. I know that. And yet this transition time has brought recommitment to core values and core beliefs and core convictions as well. From where I stand, I see that a vision about a future together has been emerging. As you've made challenging choices, and as you've considered the place of coming renovations and improvements that are going to happen through this capital campaign, that process is going to continue beyond my time with you. Well into the new year, as you move intentionally into your search for your next settled pastor, you know that you are not precisely the church that you once were. For you have experienced some losses, and sometimes some rather significant ones, and I suspect that you, that all of us, in fact, are still grieving some of those losses. And yet, along the way, you have turned and you have returned to God, the one who has the power to make us what we most need to be now and for a faithful future. I am deeply honored to have been a part of that journey, and I thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to grow in ministry over the last couple of years, for I have had the privilege to serve a church that's looked to the still speaking Creator God, that it might be refashioned for new possibilities in a new day. Second century leader Irenaeus wrote, "Offer the potter your heart soft and tractable. Let your clay be moist, lest you grow hard and lose the imprint of the potter's fingers." So in this prayer, here is the willingness to be transformed by God. As moist clay, there is no limit to the times that we can be remade. And how do we remain moist clay? Well, we do that by turning to God and returning to God, always choosing God and relationship with God as well. And I'll tell you, I know that can be hard, especially in the moments when we're angry with God for things as they are. And yet when I have persisted in turning to God, no matter the circumstances, that is when I have experienced the awesome power of God to send me out again, refashioned and feeling reborn. My deepest prayer for all of you is that you will continue to turn to God, the God who formed you, that you may know the blessing of vitality and renewal that are in store for you. So let us praise that living God together, whose active work at the wheel means that we never need fear that we must settle for living as unchanging selves, broken and useless, but we can once more become beautiful and useful, ready for the service that we have been called into if we make the choice over and over to remain as moist clay in the hands of the potter. May our loving God give us the strength and the will and the spirit so to do. Amen. So we come to a time of prayer together, and again, I would remind you of the many prayers that are lifted up in our bulletin, and those places of celebration, those places of concern that we have. And I would invite you to share with me now those written prayers that that you may have written this day. We have a specific prayer here for all of those who are facing medical end-of-life issues. We lift up in prayer as well, celebrating the life of Nora and her loving family, and we know what a blessing it was to get to know her a little bit this day, and we look forward to the ways that she will continue to bless the world. So continued blessings upon her as well. I invite you to be in prayer with me now. Holy, holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for the many ways that you have fashioned us unique and gifted and valuable. We give you thanks for your intention. We give you thanks for the diversity that you have created. We give you thanks for the variety that you have created and by which you bless this world. And so, Holy One, we pause to remember that you so cared for us that you created us, that you brought us into being. And we ask that you continue to work in us that we might know that we can be your trusted vessels, vessels for your water of life that might be poured out upon this earth and upon each person, that they might know you, that they might know your abundant love, that they might know your abundant life that you are offering. And in our parched and dried places, Holy One, we ask that your Spirit continue to be with us in those moments when we indeed feel like cracked vessels or that we have dried up and are no longer malleable. May we yet know that by your Spirit we can once again be reformed, that we once again could be the people that you continually call us to be, each person and also in our corporate endeavors through church and other institutions and organizations. We give you thanks that your Spirit continues to move in us, to inhabit our lives, to direct us to the things that you would have us do. Help us to continue to remain open to that Spirit, to discern where you are, and also to know that by that Spirit we can be far more than we can possibly imagine, and we can do far more on behalf of love in your world. We give you thanks for all of those things and so much more, and as we do, we pray these things in the name of our Savior Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Go now, siblings in Christ, remembering that we bear the imprint of the potter's hands. Nora does, each one of you does, and are ever ready to be transformed into the people who God intends us to be. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with kindness on this day and in all your days to come. Go now. In the peace of Christ. Amen.